Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Why not mark the World Day of Prayer for Vocations? But before I do this by bringing you a reflection by Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, I'd like to step back in time to the 11th of April 1964, when Pope Paul VI instituted this day to coincide with the fourth Sunday of Easter. We'll listen to his words in Italian on that occasion, and then to a translation in English read for us by Chris Altieri.
O Gesù, divino pastore delle anime, che hai chiamato gli apostoli per farne pescatore di uomini, attrai a te ancora anime ardenti e generose di giovani.
O Jesus, divine shepherd of the Spirit, you have called the apostles in order to make them fishers of men. You still attract to you burning spirits and generous young people in order to render them your followers and ministers to us.
Per renderli tuoi seguaci e tuoi ministri. Falli partecipi.
And indeed, since 1964, this day is celebrated each year by the Church. And Pope Benedict's message for this special day this year was released back in October and has as theme Vocations, the Gift of the Love of God. But at this point, as I mentioned earlier, we turn to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood for a reflection focusing on vocations.
Have you ever noticed how hard it is for a teenager to accept a compliment from an adult? It is worse if the teenager is with all his friends. It's so easy to embarrass young people. Part of the difficulty is that what an adult may see as a compliment can often be almost an insult to a younger person, especially a youngster wrestling with his or her identity. In Holy Week each year, our headmaster would send a group to the local Jesuit retreat house where we would encounter people just like us from other Jesuit schools in our part of England. In our school, the pupils chosen were those least likely to cause trouble and get the school a bad name. I guess that was a compliment as far as the headmaster was concerned, but it meant we were seen as good boys. You can imagine what our friends thought of us. That has helped me to try to avoid embarrassing pupils in schools where I have worked. On one of these famous retreats, I came across a book that now strikes me as weird, although then I was fascinated by it. It was an illustrated catalogue of religious orders and congregations, a kind of vocations brochure. It presumably encouraged people to consider an order or a congregation on the basis of what the habit looked like. Well, one habit in particular struck me. It was a picture of a young sister in a long grey habit with a scapula and a black veil, with the most peculiar headdress, a bit like a white cage with red blobs on it on top of the sister's head. It was amusing, but I could imagine girls looking at the picture and saying, "Why bother joining that lot? What a weird habit." But I soon forgot it, thought no more about it. Later that year, I went to seminary in Rome. In the first few weeks, I was asked to go to the convent next door and serve Mass. Lo and behold, here were those sisters with that peculiar thing on their heads. We wicked young men referred to their headgear as rugby scrum caps. The sisters belonged to the Order of Our Most Holy Saviour of St. Bridget of Sweden, and I have got to know them quite well since my first encounter with their publicity photograph. In those days they could not wear the odd white and red addition to their veils outside the convent, except in Sweden. One day I was bold enough to ask what they were wearing and why, and the sister told me it was the crown of St. Bridget, something revealed to St. Bridget in a moment of mystical contemplation. The crown incorporates the cross, symbolizing the crucifixion of our Lord, and the red blobs each represent one of his five wounds. This is also the origin of the custom of eating hot cross buns on Good Friday. Bridget was deeply moved by the way Jesus had suffered, and the Bridgetine motto in Latin is Amor meus crucifixus est. My love is crucified. I think Bridget must have put herself in the place of Mary, his mother, which opened her heart to a profound awareness of all Christ had suffered, and just what a sacrifice he had made for her and for every Christian. in reality, for every member of the human race. It is all a very medieval kind of piety, but very powerful in its way. The more I got to know the order, the more I realized why a young woman in the late 20th century might be able to look at that funny headdress and say, I could join them. I have been both amused and saddened to hear good Catholics complaining that there are no more nuns in homes for the elderly run by religious congregations. The devil in me makes me ask them about their daughters. They say, what do you mean, Father? I say, wouldn't one of yours like to join then? People look at me aghast, especially when I ask them where the young sisters of today and tomorrow will come from. But the fact seems to be that apostolic congregations in general are not winning many recruits in the so-called developed world. The places where I see smiling young faces are contemplative or semi-contemplative convents and monasteries. Clearly, young women are more easily attracted by that lifestyle, hard though it can be. And the reward is for the older sisters who thank God for the new blood amongst them and say, yes, it clearly is worth bothering.
And you were listening there to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, a parish priest from St. Joseph's, Blundell Sands, in the Liverpool Archdiocese. This reflection is part of his series by the title of Why Bother? Staying Catholic Despite It All. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.